WZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Days of missile strikes between Israel and Iran continue to escalate, and now President Trump is calling for Iran's unconditional surrender of its nuclear program. A Republican has introduced a measure to limit U.S. involvement in Iran. GOP Senator John Thune is reacting.
Well, I mean, I think right now the president's within his authorities. He obviously has a lot of authority as commander-in-chief to respond to incidents that happen around the world. Obviously, we have a lot of military installations, bases, military personnel in the region right now. And so I think he's perfectly within his right to do what he's done so far.
A three-judge panel in appeals court is hearing arguments on President Trump's deployment of California National Guard to help deal with unrest in Los Angeles. A lower court last week ordered control of state troops to be returned to California's governor. And retail sales slumped in May, a sign consumers are pulling back on spending. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is accepting applications for the Shooting Range Grant Program. The program seeks to provide financial assistance for safe and accessible firearm or archery recreational shooting opportunities. The grant funding has previously been used for things like renovating backstops and constructing indoor ranges. The DNR plans to disperse $600,000 among grant recipients. Anybody interested in the program must contact DNR officials before submitting their applications by July 15th. Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin's office has confirmed that she appeared on the list of names authorities believe were additional targets of the man charged with shooting two Minnesota state lawmakers and their spouses. The alleged shooter surrendered to authorities on Sunday following a two-day search. He was charged with two counts of murder and two counts of attempted murder on Monday. Law enforcement authorities say there were 70 suspected targets on the list, including 11 Wisconsin lawmakers. The identities of the other 10 are not yet known. The Spooner Area School District Board is considering a unique solution to persistent budget issues and staff shortages. At their meeting earlier this month, district officials said they're looking for ways to share teachers and administrative staff with other school districts in the area. Current discussions involve sharing four positions with the Northwood and Shell Lake school districts, including a physics teacher, finance manager, and director of pupil services. Their hope is sharing staff resources will ease some of the budget issues facing all three schools. A Minnesota man accused of stealing a trailer from a Rice Lake business by posing as a contractor is set to appear in Barron County Circuit Court on Wednesday. According to court documents, 56-year-old Olaf Beckman is facing up to 10 years in prison and a $25,000 fine on charges of felony theft, false representation. Beckman is accused of claiming to be a Honeywell contractor in February before stealing a trailer from Peach Trailer Sales. The owner of the company reported the fraud in April, and Beckman was officially charged earlier this month. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
Another win for the Thunder. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, basketball, NBA Finals. The Oklahoma City Thunder, with a victory at home last night, 120-109 over the Indiana Pacers. OKC's Jalen Williams, with a playoff career-high 40 points, was asked how were the Thunder defensively able to hold off the Pacers this time in the fourth quarter.
Everybody's just really aggressive. Everybody takes pride in it. And when you have five guys on the floor that are taking pride in their matchup, it makes your defense very special. So we're all willing to cover for each other and just make the right read defensively. When we mess up, we don't stop.
Game six is Thursday night. OKC up 3-2. Baseball tonight, the Brewers against the first-place Cubs in Chicago. Milwaukee's been on a roll since they swept the Phillies at Citizens Bank Park. Trevor McGill.
I mean, I feel like the team's been doing it for a couple of weeks now, ever since that Phillies, you know, kind of turnaround series. You know, we're stringing some wins together.
That's Brewers pitcher Trevor McGill with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Partly sunny, slightly sticky, and warm, with high temperatures still reaching the upper 70s. Becoming mostly cloudy tonight. Tomorrow, a chance of showers and thunderstorms starts to move in by the afternoon. Otherwise, it'll be partly sunny and highs right back to the upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 75 degrees.
Matt Nair on air.
From articles that I have seen, if you are a bagel purist, you should not toast your bagel. I think nothing's better than a toasted bagel and a schmear.
Folks, can we have a moment of honesty? Do you really like bagels, or do you like the schmear that is transported by them? Get rid of the stigma. If I walk into this room eating cream cheese out of a tub with a spoon.
Why is that wrong?
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Jay Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dr. Kristen Lierley will join us. More stories coming out after the fall of Roe versus Wade. Don't miss it.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Alba, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer. It is now 6 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Welcome into hour number two of the big program here on Tuesday, June 17th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite here in downtown Madison. World headquarters of Civic Media, where a little cloudy out, Zommers, but still pretty nice, right?
Yeah, I'm glad it's getting a little cloudier. Before, it was extremely bright. And like I said, I walked outside. I wanted to go get a chocolate croissant because it sounded good.
Yes.
And I had my left eye closed and my right eye barely open, just enough to see where I was walking.
Yeah, I say this with love. If I didn't know you better, I'd swear you're a vampire. Because you don't like the sun, you don't like the heat, you like everything closed up tight.
Yeah, yeah, that's fair.
But you're not, I say
hey,
that.
And I'm not supposed to eat garlic, my doctor said. Or at least limit it.
Of course you're not. Of course you're not. Oh, we kid because we care, Zommers. All right, it's how about that, by the way? Many thanks to James Small, our last guest. Not only was he spectacular talking about rural EMS and rural health, we got an invitation out of the thing to take us to his native Washington Island in Door County to do this show. And he showed me a photo on his phone of a beautiful, pristine beach where we could do the show.
That would be fantastic.
So I'm down. Where you mark it on your calendars, folks, we'll come to you live from Washington Island later this year. I cannot wait. That's the kind of guest you want. Somebody that brings knowledge and also says, oh, by the way, I can help you get on an island.
Absolutely. Todd loves islands.
I do love islands. Absolutely. Coming up later this hour, another great guest, Wisconsin Assembly Representative. I guess that would be that's a little redundant, isn't it? Assembly person Jody Emerson, who is a Democrat of the Eau Claire area. She has been a key figure in staying on top of the situation. She's the ranking member of the Assembly Committee on Universities and Colleges. And she was one of the sources that I was watching and listening to last night. Got pretty late. And it leaked out, not just her, but other people were leaking out that the Joint Finance Committee was meeting today at 1 o'clock, which they did, in session now. And on the agenda was the University of Wisconsin system budget. And that they were looking at cutting $87 million from the state budget. Many thanks to all of you who called your legislators this morning, particularly those on the Joint Finance Committee, and said no. We don't want to cut and gut the Wisconsin idea, i.e. that the borders of our university are the borders of our state. And so right before we came on the air, it was announced that they were pulling, at least for now, that motion to gut the UW system. We're going to have more with Representative Emerson at the bottom of the hour, get the latest for you, look at the numbers, look at what this potential cuts could mean, and sources within the Democratic Senate caucus telling me that if, keyword if, those $87 million cuts were to be approved by the legislature in an actual bill and went to the governor, that they would encourage Governor Tony Evers to veto the entire thing. Because unlike at the federal level, if you don't have a budget in Wisconsin, you just continue on at current funding levels. And that would be better, some Democrats are telling me privately, than approving a budget with $87 million in cuts from current levels. So Representative Emerson will be here at the bottom of the hour to discuss all of that and take some of your phone calls and questions as well. Beautiful day, as we said, as always, let's take a look at the old Sam Davidson street cam out there. Sam is up in northern Wisconsin now at the big Boy Scout camp this summer. But he leaves behind the Sam Davidson street cam. There it is. Look at that. It's a picturesque day in downtown. To the right, you see on the stream there for all of our friends watching on Facebook, Twitter, Twix, YouTube, and the like. You see the beautiful Glass Overture Center, great performing arts center on the right there. And on the left, that little triangular building there is one of my many failures in life. Where my first coffee shop was supposed to go after I left the legislature.
Wait, is it the one right on the corner?
Yeah, the one right there on the corner.
The one that's now a plant store that I've never seen anyone walk into or out of?
Yes, that's the one. And because and right to the left of that is the Castle and Doyle building, which was one of the first fire stations in Madison, historical building. And I paid for the engineering and a beautiful set of plans drawn up by OPN architects. No finer architects in the world than OPN right here in Madison. I'm serious about that. And they drew up these beautiful plans at OPN to have a beautiful coffee bar in that space. And then for reasons of which we will not get into now, that was killed. But my $25,000 still lives in that building.
You know, I knew it was this area. I didn't realize it was that exact
building. So I tell people, anytime I get too high on my horse and get a little haughty,
Look out the window.
I just got to look out the window to see, Todd, not everything you do works out. It's a good reminder to keep a guy grounded. But it's a beautiful part of Madison. We're in downtown Madison here. All right, Zombers, it's 12 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Time once again for What's Worse. Let's go. This or that, this or that. Then, of course, the choice is yours. You can get with this or you can get with that. Time once again for What's Worse. No prize money involved, nothing to give away, but it is your chance to have your voice heard each and every day across all 11 Civic Media radio stations, the biggest privately held radio network in Wisconsin, second only to the great Wisconsin Public Radio Network. But we're private, as it turns out. No better place to advertise than Civic Media. Give our folks a ring at civicmedia.us to figure out how you could be one of our great partners, one of our great sponsors here. All right, Zombers, it's Tuesday. A lot of people call it Taco Tuesday. Taco has taken on a new meaning here politically last few weeks. A lot of people say it stands for Trump always chokes. No, Trump always, now I can't even say it. See, I had it in the tip of my tongue and I got some hot sauce on it and I went back. Find it.
Trump always chickens out.
That's it. Trump always chickens out. Trump, they say taco.
It's not wrong.
Trump always chickens out. But we're not talking about it that way right now. A lot of people love Jeff Patricus, former great sports writer, known for his love of Taco Bell, but some people are partial to the Taco Johns. Some people would say it sends you to the John. Anyway, what's worse, Taco Bell or Taco Johns? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. What's worse, Taco Bell or Taco Johns? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842, or you can text us on the Civic Media app. There are some things that come into the text line that amuse me, but I cannot read them on the air.
And I know exactly what you're talking about.
Who even tells people that? Anyway, tune in tonight for our after-hours show, only available online. No, not really, but wouldn't that be fun? Anyway, what's worse, Taco Bell or Taco John's? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. I had a Taco John's story.
You do? That's right.
Years ago, before Taco John's were really in or cool in Wisconsin, a family friend of my parents, Terry Lenander, and his wife, Mary, Terry and Mary, Lenander, out in South Dakota, they were the first people to have a Taco John's franchise. And I don't remember what it was called, but it was like a dessert. It was like a fried tortilla, and then it had like applesauce and cinnamon or something on top of it. Oh, my goodness gracious. It was fantastic.
That does sound delicious.
It was really, really good. I'm not sure if they still have it or not. Honest to goodness, until this bit, I didn't know Taco John's was still around.
Oh, yeah. There's one in the area. I can't remember exactly where, but I drive past it fairly often.
Oh, all right. Well, very good. Greg in Genesee Depot says Taco Bell is worse. 855-752-4842. Also on the Civic Media app, you can download it at your Apple or Android device. If you don't have it, takes less than a minute. It's free on your app store. It's what CBS's Gail King calls a deal, the Civic Media app. Cam in Appleton saying Taco Bell is worse. I'm just going to leave it at that. Taco Bell is worse. So there you go. Also, Tony on YouTube watching says Taco Bell does not pass.
Or Taco John's.
I'm sorry. Thank you. Taco John's does not pass the vibe check. Salty tater tots and no crunch wrap. The flavors aren't flavoring. Really? I didn't know you could get either one of those things.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the image we have here shows two of the main draws for each place. The Taco Bell image has a picture of the Doritos Locos Tacos, which I know are pretty popular. Yes. It's, for those of you who are not aware, first of all, how? Second of all, it's just a hard shell taco, but the shell is a folded Dorito. And then Taco John's shows their potato olés, which are basically flat tater tots that are very salty, and thus I like them.
Oh, very good. So you can't have garlic, but you can have salty tater tots.
Oh, I am encouraged to do so.
Heather, listening up a beautiful WCFW, Eau Claire, watching on Facebook, says both are gross, but my classroom is almost adjacent to Taco John's just down the block, and I do get a craving, just like Zomer's, for potato olés from time to time. Now, here's the question. When you order a potato olé, you have to go, I want a potato olé. Olé. And do like a thing like a matador? Is that
something
required?
Something like that, yeah.
Zomers is completely not amused. Terry Barr, on Terry Barr, watching on YouTube, says, Aaron is a taco expert?
I would not say I'm a taco expert, but I would say I'm a taco enjoyer.
Welcome back, Terry. By the way, she helped us out with getting onto our website, an interview we had yesterday with a great pollinator person. So thank you, Terry, for that. And welcome back. Terry's been, she was on an Arctic world tour. She was saving penguins, which I thought was fantastic, and bringing great music around the world. So check out Terry this weekend on Max Inc. Radio. I'm sure she'll be talking about all of it. Sounds fantastic. Joseph, watching on YouTube, says, it's been a Taco John's fan since they opened in Rapid City. There you go. When I was a kid, 4 tacos for a buck back then. They also had the fry bread. The fry bread. Apple cinnamon dessert that Todd mentioned. So the bell is worse. Yeah, I mean, that fry bread was it was amazing. I've tried to replicate it over the years at home. I've come close, but no cigar. What's worse, Taco Bell or Taco John's? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Any other text numbers you want to get to there? Let's see. Roger in Stevens Point, up in Point, says, if you want a delicious laxative, it's Taco Bell.
I don't know. It doesn't have that effect on me.
No, I think it's certain things, perhaps. You know, I don't know. I don't want to get into it.
Fair enough.
People are having their lunch. Kurt in Madison, listening to WMDX, says, if you tasted a bite of it in a blind taste test, could you tell the difference? That's
absolutely.
A great point.
100% of the time, I'm convinced I could tell the difference between Taco Bell and Taco John's.
All right. Judy in Lodi, listening to WMDX, says, Taco John's has better food overall. Taco Bell is worse. I do like nacho cheese Doritos, loco tacos, from Taco something. The screen changed. Sorry.
From Taco Bell.
All right, from Taco Bell. All right, we'll come back. Zomeris and I will give you our what's the worst for the day. And then we have, and on this date, 250 years ago today. Actually, it was tomorrow. But we're going to pretend like it was today. Don't go anywhere. It's the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Think outside the box.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd All Ball Show.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511WI.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511WI.gov. That's 511WI.gov. And remember, know before you go. Always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Todd Michaels joins us now.
I have to give a shout out to Oshkosh. It's a very underrated city.
There was also a restaurant there I really liked. I don't think it's there anymore.
Yeah, the Tally's was great. I may have gone to like a prom dinner there or something like back in my day too, Pete.
A little calzone before you tear it up in the dance floor.
Man, there's nothing better than wearing a tuxedo and a little calzone in your cummerbund.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at score.org.
As Wisconsin has a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Grande. Taco.
More of this. Welcome back to the Todd All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 22 past the hour of 3 o'clock on Tuesday, June 17th. Zomers, what did you dial up?
Taco Grande by Weird Al.
Taco Grande by Weird Al. I'm not usually a big fan of Weird Al, but that one was good. I don't think I've heard that one before.
I'm not super familiar with it either.
Yeah, all right. The question of the hour today is, what's worse, our bit of foolishness for the day, what's worse, Taco Bell or Taco John's? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842, or text us on the Civic Media app like Dave did in beautiful New Berlin. So did Taco John's win a Nobel Prize? But that's the dad joke of the day. Father's Day is over, but that's good. That's a good dad joke, Dave. Well done. I'm very honored, very happy. Now, here's the kind of people you want. Here's the kind of people you want on the show. Here's the kind of people you want representing you in the state legislature. Someone who does serious work and helps the people of Wisconsin, but also is just a real human being and has a sense of humor. We last talked to her up at the Norske Nook in beautiful Osseo, Wisconsin. And here she is now live in our studio. We're going to talk to her about some serious things here after the bottom of the hour. But State Representative Jody Emerson. Representative Emerson, thanks for coming on a couple of minutes early.
Thanks for having me. Good to see you again, Todd.
It's great to see you again. I
like these interviews much better when we can do it over pie in Osseo.
Agreed. Agreed. If I could do a show a couple of times a week from the Norsky Nook, I would do it. But I don't have the budget for that or the waistline, so I got to keep doing them here.
Real world problems.
I know, right? Exactly. So thanks for joining us for our goofiness here. What's worse, Representative, Taco Bell or Taco John's?
Well, I think there's a reason in my family we call it Taco Hell. So, sorry, if that was just an FCC fine I'll take it.
As long as it's not an F-bomb or fine.
Okay, good. I'll remember that for our next segment then.
So. I appreciate that.
But I do have a funny story about Taco John's. My husband, we were at the Taco John's in Osseo, actually. Really? And some guy looks up at the menu and he's like, I'll take some of them there taco or potato olies. Oh. So that one is stuck for the last 20 years.
But if you're in Osseo, the home of the Norsky Nook, you can't blame the guy for calling him potato olies. Olealinas. I think that's fantastic.
It's great. Yeah. Right? Yep.
I'm very proud of our Norwegian Scandinavian heritage here.
You betcha we are.
In Wisconsin. Zomers, what's worse, Taco Bell or Taco John's?
I think I have to say Taco John's. Go against the grain a little bit here. Honestly, mostly just because I've had more Taco Bell. And I have a few items on their menu that I really like. I'm a fan of the Crunchwrap Supreme and the, what's it called? Quesarito. It is just cheese, like a lot of it's super fake cheese, but it tastes really good.
But it tastes good. That's fun.
Your Wisconsin card is revoked for liking fake cheese.
For processed fake cheese, but it's fair.
Well done. Well done. I'm going to say Taco Bell is worse just because I like the apple dessert cinnamon thing in Taco John's. That's really good stuff.
There you go.
Okay, here's a little on this date 250 years ago for everybody. Actually, it was yesterday, but we had a busy show yesterday. On this date, or at least yesterday, June 16th, in 1775, George Washington made a brief but important speech to the Continental Congress. He accepted their unanimous choice for him to become general and commander-in-chief of the American forces. Washington accepted the job with extreme humility. In the first sentence of his speech, he expressed his doubts that his abilities and military experience were equal to the job. Washington came right out and said, "I do not think of myself equal to the command of which I am honored with." But Washington promised to exert every power he possessed in the, quote, glorious cause, unquote, of the war for independence. Then he concluded by requesting that Congress pay him nothing, but only reimburse him for his expenses. During the ensuing 7 years of the American Revolutionary War, there were those who did indeed doubt Washington was equal to the job. Fortunately for history, Washington proved the doubters wrong. On this date, yesterday, 250 years ago, Representative, we're going to get into some serious things after the break here. But just hearing that story, to me, is at the essence, should be at the example was set by the father of our country of what it meant to be a representative and a servant of the people. Someone that said, I just doing this because I love my country and I want to do it for the cause. I'm not in this for the money. You know,
my, how things have changed.
Right? And it reminds me of Trigby Olson that comes on the show a lot, says that there are politicians that want to be and there are politicians that want to do. And I think we need more people in elective office that want to do stuff.
I think so, too. And I'm hoping we get a few more of them over the next few years. Yeah. So
it's how long have you been?
This is my fourth term.
Fourth term already. Wow. Yeah. I did not know that.
So I'm 22. I'm kidding.
That looks fabulous, by the way. Yeah, absolutely. I believe that 100%. But I mean, you look at so many people now we have new people. I think Christian Phelps up by your area, people who are doing this because they want to serve. And I think that's a really healthy thing for Wisconsin's democracy.
Yeah. I think we see the closer you are to the people, whether it's school board, city council, county board, even state government, more people are doing that because they want to help their community. Once we get into Washington, you're throwing the baby out with the bathwater on that one. Right, God only knows what's...
Well, I appreciate you bringing up local school boards and county, because those folks, just it's a very simple remuneration. It's really not a salary, really. We had James Small on from Rural EMS Outreach Program at UW School of Medicine and Public Health last hour. I think it's so important to remember all the folks across this state who still volunteer and still we hear so many of the things that are wrong with our state and country, and there are. Mm-hmm. But I think it's important to take a minute to say, and you encounter this, I'm sure, as you go to parades, other things in your district, there are a lot of great folks in this state.
There really are, and that's the best part of this job, is meeting and connecting with people, and especially with the new maps, meeting and connecting with a lot of new people and hearing new perspectives, and I think it's wonderful, and that's truly community service.
100%. We're going to take a short break, update from Pam Yonke, Midwest Farm Report, news, weather, and sports. Come on back, talk more with Representative Jody Emerson about the Joint Finance Committee and the UW system. We'll give you the latest. Don't go anywhere.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Math, science, and reading are among the common subjects elementary students can expect to learn throughout the day. However, a third grade class at Fenimore Elementary are becoming familiar with much more. I'm Kylie Allen with the Midwest Farm Report, and Emily Camps, a third grade teacher at Fenimore Elementary, explains why it was important for her to bring agriculture into her classroom.
I grew up on a farm. I still help my parents. I go to chores in the morning before I go to work and help feed the calves. Both of my boys farm with my parents. So strong background. I was also in 4-H and FFA. And I just, when I started getting into teaching about 4 years ago, I wanted to make sure that some part of my class incorporated agriculture, just because that was something that I felt so passionate about, and I wanted to bring that passion into my classroom. So I started doing Ag in the Classroom program and was lucky enough to be named one of the Teachers of the Year of 23 for Ag in the Classroom. So agriculture is important for food and fiber.
The third grade Fenimore Elementary teacher, Emily Camps, brought her summer school class to the radio station this week as part of an agricultural career tour, where our team highlighted farm broadcasting. I'll have a look at your closing markets after this.
The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Veltima fungicide is on your side to out-yield the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre, but you've never been average. Beat your own record, get every bushel you deserve, and make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
There goes Pam Yonke across Wisconsin in her suburban truck. Thanks to Zimbrick Chevrolet, Dane County's number one volume Chevy dealer with over 70 new Chevy trucks to choose from. Zimbrick Chevrolet East Madison, Sun Prairie, and ZimbrickChevrolet.com. Be sure to keep up with Pam and her travels at MidwestFarmReport.com and on Facebook at Midwest Farm Report, on Instagram at MWF Report, or by downloading the Midwest Farm Report app.
I'm Kylie Allen with the Midwest Farm Report, and let's take a look at your closing markets. Cash corn closed at 431.5, down 3.25. New crop corn closed up 3.75 at 438.75. Cash beans closed at 1074, up 4.25. New crop beans closed at 1067.75, up 7.25. July wheat closed at 549, up 12.5. July Class 3 milk contract currently has no change and is trading at $17.96. August milk is trading up 2 cents at $18.61. 40-pound block cheese closed at $175.5, down 2.5. Double A butter closed at $257.75, down 1.5 cents. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Kylie Allen.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Partly sunny, slightly sticky, and warm, with high temperatures still reaching the upper 70s. Becoming mostly cloudy tonight. Tomorrow, a chance of showers and thunderstorms starts to move in by the afternoon. Otherwise, it'll be partly sunny, and highs right back to the upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 75 degrees.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. As an actor and a director, I attend a lot of screenings. But there's one that's different. It's important, and it could save your life. A lung cancer screening. You know, I lost my mom to lung cancer when she was just 68 years old. Screenings help diagnose lung cancer early when it's most treatable, even curable. A quick low-dose CT scan is all it takes. GoTo for lung cancer is your go-to. Visit goto.org.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Dr. Kristen Lyerly joins us now.
3 in 4 people have no idea that the hospital I work at in northern Minnesota will likely close if this big, beautiful bill passes, as will the hospital in Manitowoc, Wisconsin. So it is incumbent upon us to have these conversations with each other, not in a hostile way, but in a genuine way about our values and the things that we deeply care about.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, Madison film critic Rob Thomas joins me for some movie talk, and then Milwaukee Journal Sentinel music writer Piet Levy joins me to talk Summerfest. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 35 minutes now past the hour of 3 o'clock on this Tuesday, June 17th, 2025. Glad to have you along. Zomer's on the board. If you have a question for our next guest, feel free to call or text in on the Civic Media app. Call a number. It's 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Sitting here in studio, always glad to have her. As you might have heard last segment, she was kind enough to join us for What's Worse. Going to get a bit more serious now, though. Last time she joined us was at the North Ski Nook up in Osseo, Wisconsin. She is a state representative in the Eau Claire area, beautiful Chippewa Valley. She is Jody Emerson, and she is the ranking member for Democrats on the Assembly Committee on Universities and Colleges. Representative, again, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
It's great to have you here in person. I want to start off with, because of this breaking news, we put out something on our socials last night, and many thanks to my sister, who's, I'm not sure she's directly in your district, but she's in the area there in Eau Claire, and let's put that up. Heather, on watching us on Facebook, says, Representative Emerson, thanks for speaking with the Memorial High School Student Dems group this year. My daughter really appreciated your kindness and thoughts. Well, I didn't know that.
Aw, that's sweet.
How about that?
Well,
my sister took my youngest niece, who just graduated this year at Memorial, and took her this last summer when Vice President Harris made that appearance in Eau Claire. And it was my niece was like, oh, I don't really know. And then she was kind of like, so-so. And my sister said they got back to the car. And my niece just got kind of emotional and was like, that is so amazing. And to see a woman in that position. And I think it's just really healthy and great to see a female legislator come into these high schools and say, you know what, you can do this too.
Well, I think that's so important. I think we work to achieve what we can see in other people. And so even though somebody might not look just like me, having a woman in that position, we've had men in that position, I think, and that's part of the reason why I do this and why I care about colleges and universities, because we know that that younger generation is so critically important to the health of Wisconsin and to all of us, and we need to inspire it. You know, we all had people who inspired us.
100%.
One way or the other, good or bad sometimes.
Right. Influenced us, yeah. Absolutely.
That, it's great to be in that position to be able to do that.
My sister updated or let me know, you posted on your Facebook last night about these remarkable changes. I did a little bit of reporting of my own, contacted a couple of the people, the state capitol that still talk to me and other places, and said, no, this is legit, that the Joint Finance Committee, the Budget Writing Committee, we had Senator Kelda Royce on the program yesterday. She's part of that, one of 4 Democrats on the committee, putting this budget together. They were going to take up the university, I still call it UW system. I know it's...
I will always call it the
you.
System.
Thank you.
Let's just agree right. on that one going
100%.
Forward today.
And they were going to take up the budget, and you were one of the first people to put this out there, and then we put it on our socials, that they were looking at cutting $87 million, not from Governor Evers' $300 million-plus proposal on his version of the budget, not from current spending, but $87 million.
Yeah, I mean, so right now we've got one of the biggest asks. UW system had it. Governor Evers put it in his budget, asking for $855 additional million dollars for this year's budget. And what we were hearing rumblings about yesterday is that they were going to actually be cutting $87 million, I think, million. Is what we were hearing. So not even just doing what they did last year, but actually taking money away. And I mean, that just puts a panic through. And I think it's also not only really bad forethought, because the universities are importers of people into our state. We bring people in from Minnesota and Illinois and Iowa and other country, states. They feel like other countries sometimes. Exactly. You know? Let's not talk about those Vikings. And then some of them stay here, mm-hmm. and they establish their careers and they establish their families here. And when we're looking at being an aging state, mm-hmm. the way that we bring people in is by having family-friendly policies, which includes having really high-quality K-12 schools. Well, you know, we worked on that one in joint finance last week. That didn't come out the way that I would like to see it. And now we're looking at the university system. And if we want to train the teachers of tomorrow, the engineers of tomorrow, the doctors, the nurses, the thinkers of tomorrow to develop the technologies of an industry that doesn't even exist right now, but is maybe going to take over our world in the next 15 years. You know, we need our universities to be strong, and we also need them all over the state too. We cannot just have one central location in Madison. People need to be able to be close to home, because our higher education system isn't just for 18 to 22 year olds anymore. You go back. I think about what college was like when I was there, you know, 1,000 years ago. You know,
I was 1,000+, so go ahead.
I went to school in the early 90s in college. We were super excited that we had a quote-unquote computer lab in the basement of the dorm. It had 4 computers in there.
Yeah.
And you'd bring in your own little floppy disk that wasn't actually a floppy disk back then. And this is, you know, what they were talking about. Well, you know, now it's, you have to train on AI.
Right.
That didn't exist back then. When I went to school, AI was, you know, the old War Games movie of, would you like to play chess, you know, professor?
Right. Exactly right.
And if you don't know what I'm talking about, go watch the movie, because it's hilarious.
We're talking with State Representative Jody Emerson, the ranking member of the Democratic, the Assembly Committee on Colleges and Universities, about these proposed cuts. $87 million is what it was rumored to be last night. I want to get into that in a minute, Representative, but let's cut to the chase and just update people, because this has been a very fluid situation. So you put it out on your socials. We amplified that. We did some additional reporting. I know other places did as well. And I really credit this to all the Wisconsinites out there that followed up and called people, particularly the Joint Finance Committee and their local representative or senator, because we got late word right before we came on the air that Joint Finance Committee, while they were going to meet, and they did, they pulled this motion because they gotten so much pressure and blowback and embarrassment that they pulled it back. And now Shelly Pittman, our great news director here at Civic Media, reports she was up at the Capitol. The Joint Finance Committee now has adjourned for the day. And no action. So I think that this is a win for today. Agree or disagree?
I think it's a temporary reprieval. You know, we don't know what they're coming back at. It could be worse. Right. It could be better. Right. But I think, you know, if we are working to make Wisconsin a better place, we have to have a strong education system here. We have to make sure that our universities are strong. And what is happening on a university campus impacts every single person in this state. There is research that is done into making sure that byproducts of milk, you know, are being used in a way that helps the community, that we're growing better crops, that we are learning better medical research. You know, UW-Madison has got one of the best medical research facilities in the entire nation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's some federal implications with that. And I don't know if we've got enough segments to talk about all the federal issues going on with higher education right now. Right. But we have to do our part at the state level. And so I know that higher ed can be kind of a hot button political topic. We definitely have seen that in the committee. But I'm hoping that by people reaching out to the joint finance members, they're understanding that these are the nurses in their community. These are the police officers in their community. These are the teachers. These are the people who are designing the roads that we drive on. Mm-hmm. And we have to have a strong four-year system in addition to a strong technical college system.
Agreed.
It's not a either or. It's a mm-hmm. both and. And right now, we are funding our public universities 44th in the nation. Used to be 43rd. We slipped.
Yeah.
If we don't, the goal with that $855 million is to maybe get us up into the mid-20s. Mm. You know, we're not looking for the you know, cream of the crop. We're looking at, like, can we just be middle of the road with funding?
I'm so glad you brought up this to not be a partisan issue. Look, I'm a former Republican, as viewers and listeners of this show know, left the party in 2011. I pointed out in our first segment, the first hour of this show, give folks a little history lesson on land-grant universities. It was Abraham Lincoln that signed that legislation nationally into law to make universities less, my words, hoity-toity and ivory tower, to say, let's focus on agriculture. Let's focus on engineering, not just the arts, but also those as well. So the University of Wisconsin system is built literally on land-grant university funds from the federal level. Then it was fighting Bob La Follette, and apologies to Democrats, I know it makes them a little salty, but Bob La Follette was a Republican governor and U.S. senator of this state who fought for the Wisconsin idea that the borders of our university are the borders of our state. And yes, even Tommy George Thompson, when he was governor and also as a graduate of UW Madison, but also as became president of the system, fought and believes in this. So, and of course, there are lots of Democrats as well, but I think for our Republican friends listening, this is not some sort of, I hate using this word, but woke, you know, whatever idea. This is integral to your point, Representative. This is the ag extension to all of our ag producers and 4-H'ers all across this state. This is an economic driver, a job creator, as Speaker Voss likes to say. Your comments.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's exactly right. You know, they are doing research into Lake Altoona in my district as to why there's so much sediment coming through and why there's so much runoff. Like, there's not a university in Altoona, but Altoona gets the benefits of that because it is the Wisconsin idea. It our universities, our higher ed goes everywhere and impacts everybody in this state. And I mean, you wouldn't find a better champion of the UW system than Tommy Thompson.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, he's amazing when it comes to that. And it's really disappointing. And I think what happens is some of my colleagues in the Capitol will see a situation that happens. And, you know, our universities are run by humans. They're right. Taught by humans.
Right.
You know, there are going to be mistakes there. They'll see one mistake and they will latch onto it and say, for that reason, every department, every right. campus, everything needs to be defunded.
Yeah, I say there's always a bad apple in the bunch, even radio hosts. A couple minutes left here before we go to break. I think this is a really important point. Talk us through in 2 minutes, if you can, and we can come back after the break. If these $87 million of cuts that were scheduled to be voted on today went through, and if Governor Evers would have, whatever reason, sign that into law, what would this mean in real terms to the people of Wisconsin?
I mean, without seeing the actual motion, it's hard to tell, right? Because it, you know, it could be this part, that part. But we've put a lot of money into building campuses up, science buildings all over the place. If we have to cut 80 some million dollars, I can just about guarantee that we can say goodbye to all the 2-year campuses.
The 6 that are left.
We will probably be saying goodbye to 1, if not more, of the 4-year campuses. So are we looking at, you know, closing River Falls because it's a smaller school and
Superior?
it's just down the road from, you know, a couple other campuses. Mm-hmm. Well, they're building this huge, beautiful sci-tech building right now that is integrating business and agriculture together. Our state has invested money in that. So we need to invest the money in keeping that school properly staffed and everything else. Tuition's going to go up. That's a given, but you know, there's so many other things. I better come back for the next segment because I got a big list here.
She's a pro. She's going to take my job. Come on back. We'll talk a little bit more with State Representative Jody Emerson about these Joint Finance Committee proposed cuts that are on hold for now. We're going to talk about it more on the other side. It's the All Ball Show across Wisconsin for a Tuesday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
as Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Break yourself free from that desk and come work for Civic Media, a rapidly growing network which has positions open in Park Falls, Hayward, and Amory, Wisconsin that focus on prospecting and new account acquisitions. The ideal candidate will have prior media advertising sales experience and success, reliable transportation, and a connection to the communities in which they would sell. This position pays a base salary plus generous commissions and exceptional additional benefits. To see a full description, go to civicmedia.us and look at careers. Apply at civicmedia.us or send your resume directly to darla.isham@civicmedia.us. Civic Media is an equal opportunity employer that is committed to diversity and inclusion in the workplace.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. May 12th, the U.S. Department of Justice reportedly requested all the state of Colorado's records relating to the 2024 federal election and the preservation of records related to the 2020 election. The request may relate to President Trump's effort to free a convicted Colorado election official. The records request is massive. In November 2024, there were 4.65 million registered Colorado voters, 3.3 million of whom cast ballots in the presidential election. Then, consider the records from every electronic ballot tabulator, voter registration and verification documents for each voter, and more. Colorado Secretary of State Jenna Griswold told NPR, "What they're going to do with all this data, I don't know, but I'm sure they'll use it to push their ridiculous disinformation and lies to the American public," she said. There is speculation that it may be related to convicted Mesa County elections official Tina Peters, sentenced to 9 years for giving voting machine access to conspiracy theorists tied to MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell. The week before the Colorado records request, DOJ was directed by President Trump to, quote, take all necessary action to help secure the release of Peters. To date, Colorado has reportedly provided two copies of its master voter list to DOJ and its 2024 voter history file. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Matt Nair on air.
State Representative Christian Phelps.
As somebody who's in my first term in the legislature, one of the striking things is how seldom the majority party speaks with us. I don't know how many of my colleagues personally feel LGBTQ people don't deserve freedom, but that's kind of irrelevant at the end of the day. They've already spent a number of days attacking trans people because those are days they don't have to spend defending their very unpopular economic agenda.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Tahlo Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, where it is 8 minutes before the hour of 4 o'clock on the top of the hour. ABC or CBS News, depending upon which of our great stations you're listening to, a weather update with Brittany Merlot and a great weather team. Looks like maybe a few stronger storms into tomorrow. Otherwise, sultry, hot, sticky at that time of year here in Wisconsin. And then a little sports update from our great sports reporter, Mike Clemens. Brewers have a big series against the Cubs this week. And then the Maggie Dawn Show every afternoon from 2 until 4, followed by Pete Schwabba and Conrad and Nightlight. Always a great way to end your day with Nightlight with Pete Schwabba from 6 until 8. Right now we're joined here at the table in the studio at the World Headquarters in downtown Madison by State Representative Jody Emerson. She is the ranking assembly member on the Assembly Committee on Colleges and Universities, talking about these proposed cuts to the UW system to the tune of $87 million, which was ended, at least for now, when the Joint Finance Committee pulled that motion just a couple of hours ago. Representative, let's talk a little. Again, was there something you wanted to finish up? We were talking that if this $87 million cut were to come to fruition, keyword if, the governor then would have the choice of either having to sign a version There is rumors now that Republicans are using like ChatGPT AI to write this budget. So this is real, so that they don't have to use digits for numerals, but they write them out because the governor isn't able to veto words like that, just numbers. This is really, in my opinion, I don't want to say slimy, but just it's too cute by half, which will put the governor in a really prickly spot. Does he sign this with $87 million? Or does he veto the entire budget? Some Senate Democrats are telling me privately that they would be in favor of a full cut if it came to that, Representative Emerson. What would be your purview?
Yeah, so, I mean, I can't say what the governor should do because he's got a really strong veto pen.
You can say that.
and he looks at the budget differently than I do. Mm-hmm. I'm not on joint finance. I get one vote up or down on the whole thing.
Yeah.
That vote is becoming clearer and clearer every section that they do. You know, the governor looks at it through the lens of how can I adjust this and make this a little bit better? And we saw some really creative uses of the veto pen in the last budget session. And it's not just Governor Evers. You know, Tommy Thompson did it for years. I mean, every...
The Vanna White veto, that they passed legislation so he couldn't do that.
Right. you know, and so I've heard Bill McCashin talk about, who used to be Tommy's chief of staff, about how they'd have contests to see how creative of a veto they could find in there.
Don't doubt it a bit.
So, you know, they can't just put this on Democrats.
100% agree.
You know, but... what would happen? It would just be so devastating to our universities. And I'm glad that you brought up AI, because we are at a point a couple of years ago when we were talking AI on the committee, it was more like, okay, let's not get students to write their papers with AI. And how do we train professors to look for AI written stuff? Well, now businesses around the state and around the country are not just wanting, but insisting that their new workers come out trained in AI.
Wow.
And so we're looking at having to add AI into all kinds of things, whether it's medical, to use AI in, I mean, I'm not a medical person, whatever they would use AI for, whether it's to help write things, whether it's to help sort through things. I mean, there's AI implications in every single major that you can do, and companies need that. And so we need to make sure that we've got money in the budget so that the professors can learn how in the course of their course they can help students learn AI and get ready for life on the outside of school.
And what we clear, this is not just, this is real what I'm hearing. I haven't seen it, but what I'm hearing is the Republicans are actually trying to use AI technology to feed in all of the laws, what the governor can and can't do with his veto pen, regardless of who it is, and then feed in the current iteration of the state budget and say, write us a veto-proof state budget.
And the irony of that, that they are using AI, but don't want to give money to the universities to teach people how to use AI. I mean, come on. Yeah. It's ridiculous. And that's part of what is happening at our universities is people who've been out for 10, 15, 20 or, you know, 1,000 years like you and I have been, you know, go back to school sometimes to upskill, to learn this new thing that is coming out. That's part of what our universities are doing, too. There's also a huge amount of dual enrollment where we've got high school students taking college courses, whether virtually or in person, because they can't get that same credit at their school. So we're not just talking 18 to 22-year-olds. We've got to make sure that we're actually putting the money where our mouth is on this.
Agreed. Time always goes too fast. About a minute and a half, 2 minutes left. I want to make sure we get this out. My understanding is that Joint Finance Committee needs to take up the university budget within the week.
It could either be Thursday of this week or it could be next Tuesday. So, you know, they still have to vote on what's going on. They still need to create their motions for what's going on. And so keep the pressure on.
I was going to say, any rumors to that you can report or talk about right now of the reverse is $87 million, make it worse, make it better?
Who knows? So, I mean, like always, civic media listeners, call your representatives, call the people on joint finance. Tell them what is critical for us to make a Wisconsin that works for you.
I know our colleague Pat Kreitlow is watching. He's all set for the Washington Island trip that you've agreed to go on.
All right, let's do
with
it.
James Small.
Pontoon with Pat.
In Lake Wissota. Pat's always on top of these issues as well. People can tune in to mornings with Pat Kreitlow from 6 until 9 as we continue to follow this. Representative Emerson, I cannot thank you enough for being on top of this, for helping disseminate honest, accurate, truthful information, and for helping citizens of the state to join together, because at least for today, let's celebrate a win. win for right now at 358. The Wisconsin idea is still saved for now, but your point, got to stay on top of this.
It is. It is. So thank you for helping with this. Happy to come on anytime. You're just down the block from the office.
That's what's cool. That's what's cool. We always we love it when you're on the show. Thank you so much, and thanks for all the work you do.
Thank you.
Our pleasure. State Representative Jody Emerson, thanks to her. Also to James Small of Rural EMS Outreach Program at the UW School of Medicine and Rural Health. To Zommers for doing a great job on the board. And for Pat Kreitlow for being the great captain there on Lake Wissota and also a great radio show host. Kreitlow will be on the show tomorrow with Trigvi Olson. Don't miss that. Stay tuned now for Maggie Dawn. Whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum and keep calling those legislators and save the Wisconsin idea. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Iran's military claims it's targeted Israeli air bases that have been used to carry out strikes against Iran, and the U.S. is ramping up more resources to the Middle East. President Trump calling for Iran's unconditional surrender of its nuclear program and says we now have control over Iranian airspace. That's raising concerns within Congress, with Republican Thomas Massie introducing a measure to limit U.S. involvement.
The bill invokes the 1973 War Powers Act, which calls for the removal of U.S. forces from a conflict if both houses pass a concurrent resolution. But that law, which was enacted over a president's veto, has been the subject of interbranch debate over its constitutionality since it went on the books 5 decades ago.
ABC's Stephen Portnoy. An appellate panel hearing arguments today in President Trump's deployment of the National Guard to Los Angeles. The Trump administration trying to overturn a lower court's ruling to return power to the state troops to California's governor. No decision was made today. This is ABC News.